This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Anyway, we topics up for bid today. There's a couple of really interesting topics for Tech Wednesday. And sorry, he's getting a chuckle out of that. I can put your mic on, you know.
Yeah, I'm almost ready.
You seem like you're kind of behind the eight ball today.
Yeah, you know what? It's just been a rough couple of days, I guess, Brian.
What's going on?
Nothing. We screwed up our appointment on Tuesday. I don't usually flake out like that.
You know, I was hammered drunk on the radio yesterday, and I struggled with that segment being open. No, I did a late shows on Channel 3 on Monday, and so I was so tired.
Oh my goodness.
It's funny, people yesterday were like, why were you talking about being drunk on the air? It's like, I wasn't drunk on the air. I was so tired
I
felt drunk.
Yeah.
And some people were like, well, you sound better when you're that way. We liked your opinions. We just had this really fascinating AI talk with Matthew Wallace of ERSIM and Bryn Tindall from Rebellion Group.
Yep.
And excuse me, one of the things that came up more off mic than on was how a lot of large corporations now are getting more skeptical about fully embracing it, partially because they don't want their data, their proprietary data, to be out in the world.
Exactly.
And then I talked to them about some of the stuff we talk about, is that the AI can only be as good as the information it draws from. And if you have if you're a company and you have a fixed set of data that you know is
good.
Solid.
Right.
Then the AI can be great because it can parse it in ways that people can't, and they can do it quicker.
I agree.
I think in the broader world, you sort of got me to look at it that if the information they're drawing from isn't reliable, then the AI can't be reliable.
Right. And of course, you haven't used your brain to figure it out. So you're kind of atrophying in the same way you have the same problem with GPS zombies. I can't get anywhere without GPS.
That is like my biggest thing. And I feel that even the AI people don't have an answer to that. But the one response that was given was, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not.
It's coming.
It's not even coming.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah.
It's here. And so what does that mean for our children? You know, it's funny. I find myself being more interested in reading books all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have enjoyed reading books. And I'm wondering if that's like a pushback on all the stuff that's coming down the pipeline.
Well, they said wireless was going to get rid of wires. We do more wiring than we ever did. They said
really?
We said paperless is going to get rid of printers. People are printing like crazy, right? You got a big tunnel somewhere where all of the retirement for all the DC people are, big paper tunnel, right? So AI is not going to get rid of people thinking. And I think eventually people are going to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, it might get me a start, but I really have to actually read it and edit it and add my own. Because you can actually read AI output and you're like, that's kind of generic and doesn't say anything.
But it's going to get...
It's word salad-y a lot.
But is it going to get better to the point where that's not necessarily the case?
Maybe. It depends on the sources, I guess. Lots of people can write letters and send out sales pitches and create brochures with AI real quick. It saves you a lot of time, right? That's a great use of AI. But then you look at the brochure you just wrote, and you're like, it just sounds like our former vice president. It's all word salad-y. And you don't really get to the detail, and you need the detail. AI can give you the overarching.
Well, you need something to separate it from others and stand out and be a value add.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. Eric Semmel from Tab Computers, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Is your driveway a mess? Or
No, no, that's perfect. I did a good job.
Are you a snowblower guy or are you a shoveler?
Yeah. I'm a blower.
But this you had to come through a couple times.
Yeah, it was slushy.
Make sure it was when the wind picked up, it could dry it up for you.
Yeah.
Today, mostly sunny. Was it windy out at all this morning?
Not bad.
Okay. Some clouds are mixing in, 25 to 30. Kind of the same tomorrow, but a little cloudier. Friday is going to be sunnier, but breezy again, 30, 35. Then a tiny bit of a warm-up on the weekend. Sunny, mid-upper 30s on Saturday. Sunny, near 40 on Sunday. Sounds delightful. Mm-hmm. The other voice you hear, that is Eric Semmel from Tab Computers. And again, he is on here on WTIC News Talk 1080, 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings with Computer Talk with Tab. And we started this Tech Tuesday segment, which has been fantastic. I really enjoy it. I enjoy you coming in.
Yeah, me too.
I appreciate you taking your time out. I know it's good
for
business too, but it's really good for us to be able to talk about these topics. And, you know, there's so much talk about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and what Elon Musk's doing in the government. They had all these talks about cuts of the FAA, and then there's been a bunch of crashes. But having said that, there's a story that a team from SpaceX is going to try to overhaul stuff with the FAA.
Yes.
And tell people about that first, and then I have kind of a comment on the back end.
Well, they're going to go in and take a peek, right? These guys at SpaceX can catch rockets out of the sky, right? So it's kind of, they're launching people to the space center.
They're kind of on the cutting edge.
They kind of know what they're doing, and bringing in these young folks to take a look at how the air traffic control system is working seems like a great idea to me. I mean, it's the same thing we did here in Connecticut when Yale did the study on how our treasury works, right? Somehow we found out after 45 years that they didn't know how to manage money here in the state of Connecticut. So without having those young Yaleys coming in here to say, hey, you guys don't know how to manage money, we would have been $23 billion richer, and we would have had more money in our pockets.
Correct.
Let's get some young folks in there to take a look at the FAA. We all know they're using, like, I mean, if you think about Airplane, the movie, it hasn't changed much.
Like Reagan era. Well, even the towers just smack of being old, right? So, I mean, I think that one thing the United States, this is not a Trump thing, it kind of even predates it, is that I think there's a generally an understanding now that in a free country like America, the private sector usually attracts the most talent.
Right.
And so there have been more public-private partnerships. Now, there's a selfishness with the Googles of the world because they can profit off it. But when it comes to cybersecurity, getting the Googles of the world involved in that makes sense.
It does.
Getting SpaceX involved in keeping the air safe makes sense.
It makes obvious sense. But for some reason, everyone's afraid of the young guys coming in or gals coming in and do this. And that's just silly. We need this. We need a new, fresh look at this stuff. And we need actually people that are going to take action. And it looks like this administration's taking action.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and the jury's out on all of it and what's effective and what's not. I mean, we can all agree on this, probably a fair amount of bloat in general. Yeah. I mean, we all want to get on a plane, though, and feel safe.
Exactly.
We talk about scams. What would you say the percentage of stuff you talk about on your show is scam related?
Oh, so much of it. I mean, so much of what we talk about on our show is scam related. And even folks call up that have been scammed. And it's a big problem. The biggest scams out there is pig butchering with crypto. Billions of dollars of American real money is lost to these crypto scams, not only the crypto itself.
But I don't understand, like, the story, and again, if the FBI knows you're the one getting scammed, why don't they stop it?
Well, that's a great question, and I can't speak to the FBI as to why they would do that. But
they're letting people know that they're getting scammed, so they sort of know it. So why aren't they doing something about it?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a matter of tipping off the bad guys.
Did I miss something in that story?
No, you didn't. You didn't. They basically are letting people know that they're becoming victims of a crypto scam, where the money that they're moving money into that crypto wallet is a scammer. It could be some guy in Uzbekistan with a crypto wallet. Who knows what they're doing? And the odd thing about this, though, that I found the craziest was 76%. Were not aware that they were being scammed. But what about the 24% that knew they were being scammed?
They just like it.
It's almost like the FBI calls them up and says, hey, Bob, you're being scammed. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy. Crypto to begin is a scam as far as I'm concerned.
And that is his opinion.
Yes, it is. Because it's not real. It doesn't do anything. It's basically just a...
It's appropriated value.
Fool theory.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And it's just a weird story, though, because maybe
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The FBI knows you're getting scammed, but doesn't know where it's coming from, so maybe they can help.
It's probably outside of their reach, outside of their jurisdiction, but if they see these wallets filling up with money and they know the wallet it came from, because you can actually, I guess, see these crypto wallets point A.
How do they scam you, though? They get you to... They're like, buy this with crypto, and then there's no this.
They get you to liquidate. They get you to invest in the crypto. They call you up with convincing stories to have you buy crypto and get involved in these scams. It's all a matter of trust making, and they trick you into parting you with your real money into the crypto. And the FBI knows these wallets, and they're letting people know you're being scammed, and it's good that they're doing it proactively.
People can get out in time before getting cleaned out.
Yeah, they can. They saved victims an estimated $285 million of real money, being bought by these crypto confidence deals. So I'm really excited that the FBI is doing this. But the 24% that knew they're being scammed worries me.
Weird. He's Eric Semmel. Tab Computers is the company. Computer Talk with Tab on Saturdays, 9 to 11 here on WTIC News Talk 1080. As I said, Tech Tuesday on a Wednesday this weekend at 8:50 instead of 8:20.
All my fault.
That's fine. I'm glad everything's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't use them, DoorDash, Uber Eats,
me either.
Grubhub.
I can't figure it out.
Well, it grosses me out, frankly. I just don't – I don't really – like, especially with the coffee stuff, it makes no sense. No. Your iced coffee is probably going to be melted. Your hot coffee is not going to be hot.
Right.
Like, I just don't get it. Are we that lazy? It doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, it's a gajillion-dollar business.
It's lots of lazy people. I used to pay my brother a quarter to go down to the Quickie Mart to get me a candy bar when I was a kid.
That's a big upcharge.
It was a quarter, right? And he would do it.
It was probably a 50-cent candy bar, though.
Yeah, it probably was, but
that's a big margin.
He would go for me, right? But now people are having these folks pick up their food. I find it kind of it always skeeves me out. My kids all do it. But in this case, Uber is suing DoorDash because DoorDash is saying it's forcing restaurants to only use them.
But isn't that how competition works?
Well, that's not true. Not when you say you can only use us. That's anti-competitive,
well,
right?
They can say, the heck with you, or I'm not going to do that.
They can. They can say if you want to use other folks, then you can't use DoorDash. But I guess Uber is suing DoorDash.
But is DoorDash that much the dominant player?
I think they must be. And, again, Uber's trying to fight and have this market as well. And we'll see what happens. But, again, these restaurants, I also think, are kind of victims of all this as well. I've read stories about these restaurants not being happy with how these systems are configured and laid out. But, Uber's saying, hey. And DoorDash is saying, well, I got the power in the market, so sue me. What are you going to do?
And they're like, okay, we will.
I guess we will.
I wonder if they'll get anything from it. But
multi-million-dollar penalties, yeah.
I wonder if DoorDash pays the restaurants to be the exclusive provider. If there's like a guaranteed revenue source or something like that. Because like, what would incentivize them? Because then if they don't have, if DoorDash says we won't work with you, then there's a lot of business lost. I guess.
Would think there's business lost, right? Yeah. So you can't have people pick up their food. You can't get that person to run down and pick up the candy bar for the.
They say Uber Eats is going to be more profitable than Uber driving. I mean, and now they market themselves as delivering more than food, right?
I guess so. I just don't get it, man. I just don't want anybody else handling my food. I don't know. It grosses me out.
I don't have that problem per se, but I do understand what you're saying. For me, it's like if I want to have a meal, even like Domino's, which I got for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it's like 2 miles away. I just get in the car and drive and pick it up. I mean,
we had stories too early on, Brian, that like 35% of the Uber of these drivers that deal with this food. We're opening and eating your food. And they were admitting it. Yeah, that was early on. And now you'll notice they're stapling everything. Right. So it's like sealed because the drivers were sampling.
That's hysterical.
It's just gross.
Hey, anything else going on you want to tell people about?
Not really. I mean, we talk a little bit about data centers right here in Connecticut and the electricity issues that are out there. And we had a story last week about data centers in Virginia. The whole market there has asked for doubling of power demand in Virginia for the data centers. And they're going to need even more, like 20 more gigawatts of energy down there. And here in Connecticut, we want to be some sort of data center mecca. But again, as I explained, we can't manage money here in Connecticut. Our electric grid, we're the highest cost in the country for power. How are we going to attract people to set up data centers here?
You're not.
I know. We're not.
You're not. And because it's too expensive, and that's the bottom line. But yeah. You
doesn't have to be.
But you have to have data centers here. So it's just going to be interesting how it works, because they're going to have to be.
But if we subsidize it, that means our electric bill is going to go up.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next Tuesday.